today. That's the one thing I hate about being an adult.
Yeah.
You go to work all day and then you have to come home and make yourself dinner. Like, yeah. That is rude.
I know.
That is so rude. Welcome to the Unbaked Podcast. We're your hosts, Caitlin.
And I'm Sarah.
In this podcast, two best friends get together to share our own recipes of life, having relationships, and everything in between.
Join us while we share with you our take of the definition of unbaked. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to episode 5.
Yes.
This is our 5th episode. We're calling it decaf, please.
Decaf. We don't need no caffeine right now because we're talking about anxiety today.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to go over helpful tips, things that we've experienced in our lives. We got a couple questions at the end, but those are super funny and light. So we're kind of going to go back and forth with some stuff. And Caitlin's going to start off with just basically telling us what anxiety is.
Yeah. So I'm a veteran to anxiety. Like, I've dealt with it my whole life. And I've learned lots about it just with my personal experiences. So generally, anxiety that most people get is like a normal reaction to stress or difficult times, triggered by a specific stressor. And more importantly, it has a start and ending point, which is super important to me because with anxiety disorders, which is what I have, most of the time it comes out of nowhere and it stays for a long time. Like ongoing and lasts for weeks or months and it interferes with your day-to-day life. As well, this one, compared to anxiety, it has physical symptoms, like sweating, trembling, lightheadedness, racing heart, weak body, all that stuff. So, generally, what anxiety is, if you can relate, which I'm sure everyone can, is always feeling on edge, scared. Paranoid is a huge one for me because I struggled with paranoia for a really long time in my life. Like, I was always scared to stay at home by myself until I was probably, like, 20 years old. I was always, like, paranoid to be in my car at night. And, you know, around the world, everyone's, you know, paranoid about certain things. But it was, like, every day it was ruining my life. Like, I couldn't sleep at night because if I heard one noise, I'd be up all night long. And it was just ruining my literal everyday life. So that one's a huge one for me. Being irritable is also a huge one for me because most of the time when people become anxious, they don't know how to regulate their emotions. So they turn to anger to kind of project it.
Oh, okay.
Instead of being all scared, they get defensive and then they turn to being irritable, which I have also learned, because that's how I used to be. Like I said, with paranoia, sleep issues, you're up all night thinking about things. Everyone's been there. And like I said, with the physical one, you have chest pain, weaknesses, lightheadedness. Sarah's going to take it off with some tips and some helpful habits that we can do with anxiety.
Yeah.
And then I will tell everyone about the different types because there's more than just one.
Yeah, so. For sure. Like just some basic kind of ground level helpful things that I personally have found and I'm sure you have for certain things as well.
Yeah.
Is like when it comes to anxiety, like in a place where you're super anxious right off the bat, say like a moment or a situation happens where the anxiety is really high and you're, you know, at a point where you're freaking out or however that looks for you. Personally, I find breathing really helps.
There
is some breathing exercises that I do to like put myself in a like, you know, you step back and kind of do that exercise and then see how you feel afterwards. I find that definitely helps.
Yeah.
So one that I found is, so you take, you inhale all that you can possibly inhale. And then when you think that you can't inhale anymore, you actually inhale a little bit more and then you exhale out through your mouth. So inhale through your nose, exhale through your mouth. But you get to the point and then as you're exhaling, you actually like your whole head feels almost like a little rush.
Oh,
it's
whoa.
Quite interesting. Whoa. Yeah, you want to try it?
On the verge of like passing out, but
no, like let's try it. It totally okay. So like, breathe in through your nose.
Okay. Yeah, it really like
and
tests
like,
you. Oh yeah, because
you
it
feel
opens
it kind
your
of,
lungs more. I feel like, especially when you're really trying to do breathing practices, you find that you can't inhale that much because you're in the same pace that you're already breathing, and you have to slow it down. And that little hiccup. Definitely helps your lungs, like, be like, okay,
I gotta
we need to
find,
slow down.
I'm gonna find the video that I found for that, and I will, maybe we can, like, somehow attach it to the comments or something on this podcast,
post it too.
And we can post it, because the guy explains more to it,
yeah.
And, man, it's helped me a lot. It's even helped me fall asleep. So that is a really cool little breathing exercise.
I think it's so crazy how we can be in that state, and then everyone's just like, honestly, just do like a breathing practice, and then all of a sudden you're like, that sounds so silly, but it's true. Like, I have
sometimes it's hard though in the moment. Like, sometimes you can't do it. Yeah. But if you do have that feeling like, hey, maybe I can try to get myself out of what I'm going through.
What's coming. Yeah,
what's about to come.
Yeah, like, I have an app on my Fitbit, and it's called Relax, and sometimes when I'm anxious before I go to bed, it kind of just tells you to inhale, exhale, and you do it with this, like, little circle that's getting bigger and then slowing down, and it's a great mm-hmm. one.
Yeah. I like that, actually. That's really awesome.
It's super. It's helped me a lot. Like, sometimes I'm, like, out in public, and I just go to the washroom, and I need to chill.
That's really
And
great.
It's only 2 minutes. Like, it's only a two-minute exercise, and you feel so much better after. Like, it doesn't, I mean, to be fair, like, it's not gonna heal that exact moment, mm-hmm. but it will bring you down, and it will ground you to think more logically, I guess. Because when you're panicking, you're not thinking straight, right? Then you're not going to make the best decisions. You're going to either fight or flight, right? Totally. So mm-hmm. it helps a lot in those moments. But. Mm-hmm.
Another really helpful tip is, like, which I think is the basis for a lot of things, is, exercise, super important. Mm-hmm. getting lots of sleep, which it's hard sometimes, because I know that when I'm in an anxious state, I sometimes become a night owl, and I have a hard time sleeping.
Yeah, because it freaks you out going to sleep until you get so tired that you can't help but fall asleep at that
point.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what I've been dealing with lately, and it's a lot of, we'll get more into this, but it's a lot with the guys being away, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, and then I check the house a lot. Like, I find that's where my anxiety spikes a lot is when I am alone, and I'm in a situation where, like, and this is also OCD and hormone related, but, like, man, I check the door 12 times.
Yeah.
I make sure it's locked. I check every window, even though I haven't opened them.
Yeah.
You know, those are things, like, I check the smoke alarm, I check the CO2 detector. Yeah. I do those things, and that's just, like, I don't know. Those are things I know about, and I need to, like, work on.
Yeah.
But, it makes me anxious.
Well, paranoia.
I'm super, super
that's
paranoid.
That's what it is. Yeah. And that comes with OCD, too. Yeah. It's paranoia, for sure. But yeah, you're on, like, a ground level house, and it's in a popular-ish area, and I would totally be the exact same way, especially with the windows.
Yeah.
Like, you never know, and you haven't really been by yourself at all, really, and staying here, especially, all of a sudden, the boys are just gone, and then we're just by ourselves at night, and we're like, okay, like, just anything to distract us from thinking about, like, either being alone or our, like, anxious thoughts.
Yeah.
For example, the windows and the door or whatever, we'll just stay up and keep ourselves distracted until we literally cannot stay awake.
And then I fall asleep, but then I have a heart. Then I don't get my proper sleep.
Exactly.
So then I'm screwed.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, I didn't get my 7 hours of sleep that I needed, at least seven.
Yeah.
Right? I am super grateful I have people, like, above me in my house. Because if I didn't, I lived in an entire house alone.
Like me. I did.
Yeah. That's stressful.
You hear, like, one crack in the middle of the night, and you're like,
Everything I just blame on upstairs. I'm like, oh, it's probably just them. Yeah. Which is great. I love it. I honestly do. I almost feel like texting them being like, you can be louder when Darnell's gone because I like it.
Yeah, it distracts me. Yeah. It's like security too, right?
Totally.
Yeah. But the whole sleep thing, I mean, honestly, like, every single, the odds of you getting 8 hours of sleep are seven at least every night. In a normal life, like, no,
it's
like,
so
that's
hard.
So unrealistic.
No,
unless, there's no even, like, unless you start getting up at, like, 5 a.m. and then you go to bed at, like, 7 and then you sleep. But, like, still, everyone has a busy life. Mm-hmm. Everyone's working. Everyone's in school. Everyone has a life. So getting that 7 hours sleep isn't always the easiest.
And
being someone who doesn't sleep very well, I've noticed that when I don't get enough sleep, or even just 6 hours, I get happy when I have 6 hours sleep.
Yeah, it's like, oh, sweet.
But you notice it. You notice it the next day. Because not only are you tired, your body is more, like, aware of things. Because you're so tired and you're slowing down. But then it just messes with everything.
It agitates your whole body, which causes anxiety, too.
Yeah,
exactly. It's just like a full cycle.
Yeah.
So sleep is extremely important. And we're not hypocrites. No, we try not to be.
Yeah.
But it is super important.
We're
telling you because we need to manifest more sleep in our lives because we need it.
Literally. But like I said, though, like, not everyone's going to be like, oh, get 8 hours sleep every night.
Exactly.
Like,
try your best.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, seriously? Yeah, right. Unless you're retired. But, like, seriously.
You go to bed at, like, 8.
Yeah, literally.
I know. Yeah, and then another thing, like, especially for women, hormones. Man, yeah. Hormones are something to really take into consideration when it comes to anxiety.
Yeah.
Your period, everything has to do with that. Oh, yeah. The way your cycle is, oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, the week before I get my period, I am the most anxious person you will ever meet.
Same. I was literally going to say that.
Yeah. Everything sets me off.
Yeah.
I cry, I'm anxious, I'm a mess the week before. I can't help it.
Yeah. Every girl has been in a situation where they, like, the night before their period comes, they don't know it's coming, and then they just, like, start crying or get anxious about something, and they're like, this is so odd. And then the next day they get their period, and they're like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, you're like, oh, so I wasn't weird. Yeah. It's just so normal. So it was just like...
Like, it wasn't, like, inappropriate to cry about a sock on the floor, like, one time.
Exactly.
Literally, it could just be that easy. One time I was sitting at a beach lookout by myself, and it was the night before my period, and I'm like getting in my feels, like being dramatic and, you know, listening to sad music, and I'm on the phone with my friend, and these two little deer walk past my car, and I freaking bawl my eyes out. They're like, why are you crying? I was like, they're just out here, like, doing their thing and
living, you know, life.
And what if they, like, don't get to their mothers or something? It was so silly. And then, like, I woke up and I was like, wow, like, that is so funny to think about, that I, like, cried at that moment. Like, oh, it's so funny. But yeah, hormones are crazy. And, like, what kind of relates with hormones, I don't know if you have this written down, but diet.
Oh yeah,
right? Like, because to regulate your hormones and just to be healthier in general, eating a proper diet, right? And, like, not just, you know, eating fast food. And I'm not gonna say fast food is, like, terrible, because I do eat it sometimes for sure, but regulating what you put into your body will definitely have a impact on what your brain does, and
especially
hormones.
Because of, like, we live in a world where everything is additives and extra processed and things like that. So GMO. Like, we're putting those GMO, those processed foods in our body, and of course they're gonna have an impact on our mental health.
Yeah,
they are. That's just the way chemicals work.
Like, everything
does.
Yeah,
so really be conscious about that, especially like, I found this app, and I gotta find it, and maybe we'll link that too. And it's also, it's really cool, because I'm just learning about it.
Ooh.
And it's called 28 Wellness.
Ooh.
And they have, this is kind of, also goes to hormones, so it tracks your cycle.
Ooh.
And it tells you each day what you probably are feeling.
Oh.
Which I love. It was like, you know, like, it's day one of your period, you're probably going to feel a little upset. Don't worry, you're okay. You're allowed to be. So it says these things, but it also shows you well-balanced meals, what you should be consuming at that time in your hormone cycle, and for your levels, the exercises you should be doing that day. Like, it's incredible. I got to show you guys this. Like,
that's so awesome.
Yeah, this is not an ad, but oh my goodness. Yeah. I'm going to, like, we're going to tag them in one of our... something, because it's really cool. I gotta show you
that.
That
sounds amazing. If I ran that company or was, like, a employee on the first day of the period, I'd be like, it is okay if you eat 10 chocolate bars.
Yes, exactly.
Go off, queen.
Like, that's what I do. You can eat what you
want. That's amazing, though. Yeah. I love that idea. That's so great.
Yeah, so those are also things that can help. I'd say that these are, like, the foundation so that we can just be aware that... Because some people probably don't even realize that certain things they're going through are anxiety.
Yeah.
And different forms of anxiety. Yeah. So these are just things that you can kind of do to, like, kind of conscious of.
Yeah.
Kind of put in the back of your mind and go, oh, well, maybe that's why I feel this way. Or it's normal to feel this way. And so I really think that these are just the basis. I can't speak. Basic. basis? No, wait.
The basis.
The basis.
Yeah. Like of the foundation.
This is the batter of
the batter.
Batter of the, and then we gotta add the chocolate chips.
This
and
is kind of what causes it, like, simplified,
and whereas, what you can do to kind of help.
I'd say
like these are another one would be identifying triggers. So is it alcohol, is it caffeine? You know, caffeine does cause spikes.
Of course.
That's why this episode is called Decaf Please, because sometimes you just need decaf, even if you want coffee.
Like, you crack out and you have an anxiety attack because your heart's racing.
Exactly.
And,
your blood sugars are going all over the place.
Yep.
And, like,
totally.
There is so many triggers for that.
I totally forgot about that one. But, yeah, it's true, because, you know, you don't realize that anxiety comes in so many different, like, forms of your life, mm-hmm. and you have to just sit back and say, like, how am I feeling right here? Like, mm-hmm. how am I feeling? Like, when I feel anxious without even knowing it, which is so crazy because my body knows it, but my brain doesn't really. Like, I'm in denial almost.
Yeah.
So when I'm in school, like, in-person school, I always pick my fingers.
Yep.
And I'm like, why do I always do that? And I leg tap, too.
Oh, yeah.
I leg tap and I pick my fingers. I also have ADHD, but I feel like it's more anxiety, and I'm just like, why am I doing this every time? And I, like, reflected that it happened, like, every time I was in class. So it's,
that's really that's good a trigger, pretty much. Italy.
Yeah, because well, because my hands started to hurt. Yeah. I'm like, why am I picking my fingers?
Yeah, you're like, what am I doing?
Man,
no, and that's super
getting hot. I always get hot in public, like really hot, like especially in the summertime. Ooh, I hate that feeling. Yeah. Oh my goodness,
when you're in like a big crowd and you're just like extremely like,
and you feel flushed and hot. Yeah. It's a funny story, actually. I mean, this wasn't really funny, but it kind of is funny to me now. I was, before I had been on medication, I was an anxious little mess, and I was standing in the lineup at Nature's Fair, and it was so busy, and I'm, like, standing in line after I just walked around, like, panicking, because it was right when they did the renovations, and I didn't know where anything was.
Ooh, yeah.
So I'm standing in line, and I start to get super lightheaded, and I start sweating, and I'm like, don't faint. Like, don't faint. And that's a huge thing that I used to have when I wasn't on medication, is that I would get super lightheaded in public settings.
Mm.
And anyways, so I was to the point where I literally couldn't see straight, and I had a crisscross applesauce on the floor of Nature's Fair, and I'm like literally in tears because everyone's like, oh my god, are you okay? Or like, we're looking at me like some crazy person because I had to literally sit down on the grocery store floor and the like the cashier came over, she's like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm just like super lightheaded. And she's like, okay. And she went and grabbed me a water from the cafe, and I was
so
like, you're so freaking sweet. But yeah, it was like crazy, and that was a trigger for me, and it's like social. But I was gonna go off because there are different types of anxiety.
Yeah,
everyone really deals with stress, which is kind of related to anxiety, but don't get it twisted, because you know, anxiety is different. So for starters, there's phobia anxiety, which not a lot of people are really aware of. So to kind of explain it, say you're scared of heights. And do you want to go skydiving? Mm-hmm. That feeling that you get when you're scared of heights, that's phobia anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, what's a phobia? Like,
I have a really weird one. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
So I have two.
Ooh.
One is I have the fear of mascots and clowns.
Oh, yeah.
Like, but not even clowns. I would say mascots is my number one. Like, that gives me that same feeling. Like, you, like you're, like, looking over.
Fight or flight.
Yeah, that, like, I literally freeze.
Yeah.
I freeze.
Fight, flight, or freeze. Yeah. Which is a polyvagal theory. Yeah.
And I can't do anything but I freeze.
Yeah.
In my tracks. Dead in my tracks when I see one.
Yeah.
But this one is really interesting to me. So, I have anxiety when it comes to certain foods.
Oh.
Specifically food meats.
Oh, yeah. Chicken and anxiety is huge.
So, I have it really badly, and I don't think, like, I don't think Darnell really means to, but sometimes he's just like, stop being so, you know, stop worrying about it.
Nitpicky.
And I don't think, like, he doesn't understand the stress that I go through.
Yeah.
Like, it literally causes me so much stress.
Yeah.
I will pick and I will examine all of my food, every bite I have.
Yeah.
And it's also, like, I'm so paranoid about my food being, like, bad.
Yeah.
Like, if it's even, like, the day of, like,
same.
If it's, like, I'm like, no, I'm throwing it out.
You don't
like, I waste probably so much food because I'm so paranoid towards that.
I was gonna say is because you have a fear of throwing up.
Yes.
And that's a phobia of yours.
Yeah.
And that's where that comes from.
Oh, wow.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
More math issues.
Look at you.
Also, that's a huge one, throwing up. People hate throwing up. I used to hate it. I've done it way too many times now that I'm just like, it sucks, though.
Yeah.
No one likes it. Like, it sucks. One of my phobias is, like, little holes, but, like, not little holes, like, on a door or on a wall, but, like, skin.
I saw something like that.
Yeah, it's
like, have you seen the hand?
No. But
oh, my God.
Ew, I can't.
There was a, like, video of it. It was so weird.
Ew, okay, like, abnormal body
like
growth.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Or whole, ooh, I can't.
Oh,
it makes me, crawl in my skin. It makes me so uncomfortable,
and
like,
I know
people,
like,
can't handle it, but I don't want to see it. I can't. Like, warts make me cry because I can't. Oh,
interesting.
My goodness.
See, it's interesting though, like, when there's like a perspective of like Like, I know what you mean, but it doesn't, it's not weird to me. But that's something we have to be conscious of.
Yeah.
Because you might feel that way, and that's totally respectable. We can't judge you for feeling that way, because that's fucked up. Like in the sense, not fucked up. That's in your mind too, it's like, oh my gosh, like, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, right? Some people can go up to Mickey Mouse and give him a hug, but
yeah,
I ain't doing that. No. I don't think I could go to Disneyland. I'm terrified of that.
Oh, true.
I know. I want to go to Disneyland, but holy crap, I'm scared. But
they're all, like, really nice there,
everyone
though.
Says that, but also so was the panda in the mall, but I was scared of it, man.
So are clowns. They're supposed to be nice. Clowns are supposed to be nice, but...
Yeah.
Us friggin' people in society are making them spooky.
I know,
and stuff.
Back to like the 2016 clown epidemic.
Oh yeah.
I will not.
So gross.
No, thank you.
But yeah, anyways, like specific things that trigger your anxiety, which is kind of like a trigger. Phobia anxiety is kind of like trigger anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I have a phobia of getting my drink spiked.
Yeah.
Like that's one of my biggest fears. Yeah. Like I walk around bars with my hand over my drink.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm not gonna risk that, and being drugged or like. Yeah, just drugs scare me, to be honest, because I've had a bad experience with drugs. I was laced when I was young, and it was not a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on, and as everyone knows, we have social anxiety in this list, too. So that's like feeling overwhelmed in a group of people, or obsessively worrying about what others think of you.
Wow.
That's a very hard one, and I genuinely feel so bad for people who feel that constantly. Like, you could literally be best friends with someone, and they'll go home and be like, does she like me?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's so tough. Like, I couldn't imagine. But
I feel like this one's really, really important for people who are in high school.
Yeah.
It happens at all ages, but I feel like this definitely hits home with, like, going to school.
Yeah, because you want to fit in, right? But not everyone's going to fit in. And then it's like, do you want to fit in? Do you want to be like those people? But yeah, like, I have times where... I'll be drinking or something like that, because that's when I'm, like, more no filter or whatever, and then I'll go home and I'll have anxiety all day the next day, because I'm like, did I make a fool of myself, or did I say things that, like, but I feel like everyone's really gone through that, like, they're like, oh, did I say too much, or was I too annoying, or, you know, but the people who actually have it to the point where they're actually obsessing about every person they come into contact with, whether or not they hate them, which is so hard, and I just, I genuinely feel for you guys out there who go through that, because it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
And another one, which is big for most people, I feel like, I don't think it would be for us, per se, but separation anxiety. Mm. So that's being anxious when someone close to you leaves your site, or, like, your area, your space, your home, stuff like that. Like, you just get anxious without that person.
Right.
I've definitely felt that, especially with Austin going away,
mm-hmm.
Just because he's here, and then all of a sudden he's gone. And I'm like, like, he's my other half, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say better half, but he's my other half. He's my other half. Yeah. And, like, same with you, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's just missing them. I wouldn't say it's, like, I'm freaking out, blah, blah, blah. But, like, lots of people have separation anxiety.
Yeah.
Like, they can't go without their partner
like,
at
it
all.
Becomes full-on panic attack and anxiety.
Like, yeah.
Like hyperventilating. Like,
It's tough. And then generalized anxiety, which we've talked about often, unrealistic worries and tension with little to no reason. So we already went through kind of what the generalized anxiety is. So I just wanted to kind of talk about the causes. This is just kind of from what I know. There could be multiple other causes, but I kind of broke down what I figured were the causes. So the first one is genetics. Passed down. Like, if you grow up in a house where your mom's like, like, up high strung and, you know, freaking out all the time, or won't let you leave the house because she's scared that the air is gonna turn you into an alien or something that'll go right to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you grew up with that kind of household, that'll just jump right into your sock.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You're right.
Another one is brain chemistry, because it's, we can't just blame people for what happens to us.
Yeah.
Obviously. So brain chemistry, sometimes there's faulty circuits in the brain that controls fear and emotion. They can just go completely sideways, and that can cause anxiety disorders. Huge one is drug or alcohol misuse or withdrawals. So I mean, I feel like we've all gone through anxiety when you're hungover and you're just anxious the whole day for no reason, and you're just like, I don't want to leave my house. Like, just feels uneasy. And one that's huge for me, two ones are huge for me, is childhood experiences and trauma. So childhood experiences kind of goes back to the genetics. Like, if you're around that environment all the time, it's going to pass too. And then trauma, of course, can cause a million things, which is unfortunate, but it's true.
Yeah.
And then there's some other possible causes, which is limited socialization as a kid.
Ooh.
And that would be so tough with kids nowadays when they grew up during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Like, I have a coworker, and she had her kid, and then all of a sudden it was a pandemic, and she's like, I'm worried that she wasn't, like, socialized because we couldn't go out. We couldn't go to the grocery store and socialize with people. And, like, now she's super shy, like, around people, but I know she's going to break out of it.
Oh,
she's
sure.
the sweetest little girl ever. I love you, Emma and Rachel. Hi. But it's tough. Like, she's like, she didn't get to hang out with kids very much. She didn't get to socialize at the park, right? It's like, that can definitely cause some issues with, like, just growing up and developing, right? Another one is a history of being bullied, which kind of goes back to high school, right? Like, if it just bumps your self-esteem, then you get anxious, and then you're in denial, and you're insecure, and that can just become a huge cloud of issues or whatever. And then the last one is overprotective parents.
Yeah,
that's a huge one for me, because I grew up in such a chill household, and I feel like when parents are too strict, kids rebel. And as I think we all know that, like, if your parents chill, you're not going to do anything behind their back, because you know that, like, it's whatever. Whereas if you have super strict parents, you're always going to go behind their back to do this kind of stuff. So there's those two, and then there's just overprotective, like, I'm gonna wrap you in bubble wrap every time you go out, or you can't go anywhere without me. And it's just it's like codependency, right? And that can cause, like, serious anxiety when you start growing up. So that's a huge one.
How about let me see that again. I'm just gonna look. So how about, the overprotective parent who bubble wraps their child, who causes that child to not be socialized.
So I've seen that during the pandemic.
I've seen this years. I mean that for sure.
Yeah.
I've seen this years ago.
Really?
Firsthand. Ooh, I won't get into it.
That's tough.
I still to this day, if freaking breaks my heart.
I
don't want to say anything else, because I see it still to this day. What those actions have caused that person.
And
it breaks
tough.
My heart.
Yeah.
Breaks my
100%.
Heart.
But then, like, you can totally 360 it, and then there's parents that just don't care at all. And it gives you anxiety because you had to learn things from a very young age. All this stuff can cause so many issues.
I know.
So, and that's, that's the causes. So, if,
But here's a couple things, too. Like, when you have acknowledged that there is anxiety in your life and that there's things that you need to work on and try to work through, connecting with other people, talking about it is the first step. You got it? Like, to be able to acknowledge that I'm anxious and this is causing me anxiety, or maybe I have one of those anxiety disorders, and how can I figure this out? How can I further my knowledge on what I need to do if I am in a situation to calm myself down, what I can, who I can talk to, seek professional help. There's, we're in such a good time to be able to further our education on this.
And be self-aware, like our last podcast. Be self-aware. Yes, that's so crazy. It's so funny, because when I kind of hate it, but I don't at the same time. But when I'm anxious, I always text my friends. Hey, what do you think about this? Like, I'm freaking out, blah, blah, blah. Like, I call my friend Kira all the time, and she's like, hello. And I'm like, I'm just, like, panicking about something. And she's like, okay. Like, and I'm like, I just need to write something out. And she's like, okay, I'm listening. Like, and I just have to call someone or talk to them, like, when I'm going through it, right?
100%. And that's, I think that's also specifically to ADHD as well. And that is, you need to talk it out. I'm like I've learned that from someone in my life, and she knows who she is, and I know that she always is like, you're just like my little, like, I can just vent to you, and I just know that you're there and you listen, even just to listen, to spill all the ideas out. I don't even, she might not even end up, you know,
resolving
resolving much, but, like, to get it out, it feels a lot better.
And that can be that first step, though.
Right?
Like, when you let it out, it's kind of, how I see it is, when I'm letting it out, I start figuring it out as I'm saying it, right?
You're,
and then you come to conclusions and,
because,
like,
you're talking it out loud.
Yeah, exactly.
Talking about it out loud.
And that can go with professional help, your friends, your family, your coworker that you sit beside for 8 hours a day, like me. Me and Jen are, like, therapist buddies. But that's a good one. I love the connecting with people and just really talking it out.
Yeah.
That starts with being self-aware, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't really talk about it. You can't just, unless you're self-aware. Like, how are you going to talk about what you're feeling if you're not self-aware?
So self-awareness.
That just counteracts each other. I'm like, you got to know what you're feeling.
100%.
To say it, right?
Exactly.
So we got to be self-aware.
We do.
Yeah.
So also, I have a few kind of, these are questions that we ask out loud to each other.
Yeah.
So when we're in a situation, to ask ourselves, so what is in my control in that moment? So, like, if a circumstance happens and you're feeling extremely anxious or paranoid about a certain situation, to be able to ask yourself, like, what is in my control and how am I able to reduce this anxiety right now that I'm dealing with?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that I can identify? Is it something that I can control mm-hmm. in a certain circumstance? Like, even if you just pick one thing out of that whole circumstance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've had situations like, so I have to book an Airbnb for September, and all of a sudden, this is also hormone related, I couldn't sleep for a little bit because I got super anxious, like, oh my gosh, there's not going to be a hotel, like, it was nighttime, right? So yeah. I was like, oh my, I was about to go to bed.
Thinking of everything.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, there's not going to be a hotel, like, if I look tomorrow, that's too late. I'm like, Sarah, there's always something that it will come up.
Yeah.
And I talked myself down. I'm like, yeah. I need to sleep. That is what I need to control right now. Yeah. That is my priority.
Yeah.
So that is something, also it's putting into perspective, Sarah, that is literally not that big of a deal. Even though, like, yeah. you know, hormone related things.
Well, don't gaslight yourself.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But, you know, like, getting your priorities
yeah.
straight, for sure.
Getting my priorities, yeah. Like, so it's like, okay, like, it's not the end of the world. Like, you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You can, you know, I know that was just, like, a really random example.
There's tons of places in Vancouver. Yeah. Just, like, reassuring yourself
exactly.
is a huge one.
And like, tomorrow, I'm sure an Airbnb will be there still.
Yeah.
And guess what? There was one.
Yeah, exactly.
I still haven't booked it yet. I need to do that. But, yeah, see, and now I'm just like, yeah, now I need to, like, actually see, but it's probably going to be gone. So,
like, but that's okay, because we'll find a different one.
Exactly. Yeah.
I kind of relate to that situation when I was thinking about that question is, like, at work, I feel like. Mm. Like, sometimes you get clients that are, like, upset with you or something like that, and then you do what you can, but that's it.
Yeah, and that's a really good example.
You do what you can, and then it's out of your control. You can only do so much, and as long as you've, like, really tried to, like, help this person or, you know, whatever it is, what they're, like, upset about, that's it. You stop. You cannot just keep absolutely bending yourself like an elastic mm-hmm. band. As long as you've tried. But that's out of your control. Whether or not they stay or they go or they write a bad review, it's mm-hmm. out of your control.
Yeah.
You know, you've done what you can and just reassuring yourself in that moment.
That's
like
a
reassurance
really good point.
To yourself is so big.
Especially in the workplace.
Oh,
because
yeah.
you don't live for your job. Like, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Like,
seriously.
It's not worth being anxious over. And it's easier said than done. I get that.
Yeah.
It totally is.
And yeah, it's another thing to tell yourself in those situations. Say you're, like, having an angry customer or something like that. Just say, you know, they're projecting how they feel in their life to you. It's not even about you.
It's not.
They don't even see you as a person. They just see you as a wall to yell at
mm-hmm.
because they have their own problems.
Yep.
So you have to really put up that board and say, okay, this is them projecting, and it has nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
It literally doesn't. Their mm-hmm. anger is their life, not mine. And
mm-hmm.
I didn't, you know, I don't know.
Think of what they're saying as a boomerang, and it always is just going to go back to them. It's not going to actually hit you. You know what I mean?
People get mad because their life is
miserable. Around. Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, you just stop and say to yourself, like, it's out of my control. I did what I could, and they're just projecting.
Yeah.
And don't let it ruin your day.
Exactly.
And sometimes there's harder days than others, but just try your best to just sit there and reassure yourself, take a couple deep breaths.
Yeah.
Big.
And another thing to ask yourself on top of your, what is in my control, it's what's one small step that I can take right now in that moment?
Yeah.
Right? And it's hard to think those things in the moment too, though.
Yeah.
Because
after
the fact, you're like, oh yeah, like, you know,
I could have done that.
But it is easier said than done.
Well, you're not thinking logically when you're panicking, right?
That's true.
Like, so I learned this through therapy. There's this thing called the polyvagal theory, and it is kind of like, it's kind of like a volcano. You start calm, and then it's peak, and then it's like de-escalation, right? So it's, oh man, I should have printed it out, but basically just like fight or flight, you go into peak phase and then de-escalation, and it's just a really great chart to kind of look at to understand like where you're at in those phases, especially when you're getting anxious.
Yeah, but maybe we can add that to we'll add it to our photos.
Totally, yeah. But when you're at that peak phase, when you're either fight or flight, you don't think logically. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's called fight or flight, because do you really want to fight? No. Do you really want to fly? No. Like, you want to, like, logically, you should just be figuring out the situation or, you know, trying to understand what's going on, but your body's like, and it runs or it fights something, which is crazy that our brains do that.
Yeah.
But when I'm going through that one step that I can take, my biggest one that I recommend to literally everyone, it sounds so overpopulized, but I swear it works so well. It's called like the traditional grounding technique.
Mm.
So it's 5 things you can see, 4 things you can hear, 3 things you can touch, 2 things you can smell, and 1 thing you could taste. And if you go through that with yourself when you're feeling anxious, I swear by it that you'll feel calm and grounded by the end of it.
That's awesome.
Like, I did it not even a couple nights ago, and as I was looking for things that I could touch in my room, I was like, I felt this whole weight off my chest. Mm. It was crazy. And I just, I recommend that to everyone, the grounding technique. I'm definitely going to post that too.
Yeah.
Because y'all need that. Y'all need it. It's good. And keeping lavender on hand often. Like, I have a diffuser at my house, and I put lavender in, and it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, who doesn't love the smell of lavender?
Yeah.
Unless you have, like, allergies. But lavender is the best.
Yeah. Oh, it totally is.
It's just a great smell, and it relaxes you, and it's good for, like, really any time of the day.
No, it is. It's great.
It is good.
So, what do you think about overthinking the issues? How do you take that out? How do you de-escalate that?
I don't know. It's just funny.
No, it's fine.
How do I de-escalate it? Okay, like the polyvagal theory.
I guess it is.
Yeah, it is. I can show you guys the graph. I really should have looked at it before I started talking because I literally had to do homework on it for so long, especially in my schooling. Overthinking. Wow, that's one that people go through often. I know that lots of people are like, I'm an overthinker.
Yeah.
I'm not really, though.
Interesting.
Like, everyone's like, I'm thinking about the future. I'm thinking about, oh my goodness, this, that. Things that they can't control. Whereas I'm just living today.
Yeah.
That's one thing that makes me different, even though I do have anxiety, is that a lot of people I find are just constantly overthinking about things that they aren't even,
it's out of their control.
It's not even a thing right now. Yeah. Like, why are you stressing about it? And we all stress about like an exam or going to work for your first day or going to school. But it's little things like, oh, am I going to be able to pay my taxes in 2030? Like, it's stuff like that I'm like, okay, you need to prioritize what should be worried about and what should not be worried about.
I know.
Like, something you should worry about is what you're going to have for dinner.
Yeah.
Like, and if you're going to bake chicken or tacos. Like,
yeah.
Or chicken or beef tacos. You know? So I don't really know that one. That's a little difficult for me because I don't really overthink.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess, like, the extent, I used to struggle with this one a lot, but I also kind of was very self-aware and I learned to overcome it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's just, to me, it was not worth it. All the stress that I had because of it.
It causes health issues.
Exactly.
Stress, unreal. Mm-hmm. Stress can mess up your whole body.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just not worth it.
Yep.
Unless you're worrying about what you make for dinner, because I do that every day. Yeah. I'm like, what am I going to make today?
What am I going to eat?
I feel like that's a valid stressor. No, like, everyone's like, what are we making today? That's the one thing I hate about being an adult.
Yeah.
You go to work all day, and then you have to come home and make yourself dinner? Like, that is rude.
I know.
That is so rude.
I need who made this game plan?
Yeah, right? Like, who?
I know.
I didn't sign up for this shit.
Yeah, I know, right? I know.
But exactly. Overthinking, though, I just want to say that I validate everyone who goes through that because I know how tough it is and I know how popular it is for people to overthink. I'm here for you.
Yeah.
Like, I feel genuinely very bad for people who go through that because it's tough. Like, could you imagine just sitting there worrying about every single thing and just being in your own head and not thinking about things that are actually going on? You're just worried about everything else that's out of your control.
Yeah.
That's really tough.
Yeah. It's really tough. I know. And I see it firsthand in some people. And it's really sad, but they're not aware, really. So, unfortunately, it's just something that they're going to have to figure out on their own. Because we can't really, there's nothing we can do. Like, you can tell someone not to overthink, but they're not going to just
that's
not
also
overthink.
Rude. Yeah, that's like really, that's yeah. like telling your girlfriend on her period to just, like, not be upset.
Yeah.
That's dumb ways
yeah.
to die.
Like, yeah, it is, yeah.
Literally.
Dumb ways to die. Yeah. Yeah, like, I had a situation where I had so much stress, and I was overthinking one circumstance so much mm-hmm. that I literally had extreme, excruciating stomach pain for 3 days.
Oh, yeah. That's I thought you were going to say shit, so no. I was like, I feel that. I get nervous poops.
Yeah, no, often. I didn't. I literally didn't.
Oh, you
like,
couldn't.
I couldn't. Yeah. I
plugged you right up.
No, I was so, like, my stomach was literally in pain, because like, I could actually feel it not.
Yeah, that's anxiety.
Because
yeah.
I had such a high level in that one, like, moment that it took 3 days to recover. Like, holy. That's so much stress on the body that is yeah. not okay.
Yeah.
And oh, I know I know that my hormones, this was not too long ago, I know my hormones were affected by it. I know that, like, a lot of things were affected by that one circumstance that I went through.
Yeah.
And it was something that I should have, in the moment, said, what is in my control?
Yeah.
And I could have talked myself down, but I was so upset about the situation.
Yeah.
And there was money involved, there was timing, there was flights, like, there was so much involved that it just literally, and I remember saying to the person that, like, after we had talked, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm so relieved after having the conversation. I mean, everything was settled, and it was all good, but the pain I had to endure for those days yeah. after that, and I, yeah.
That's so tough.
Man, it was tough.
Like, a good example of overthinking that I could probably relate to is, like, when you text someone a really long message and you're waiting for the response.
Oof.
But that's how people feel all
I
day
know,
long.
I know.
Like, thinking, like, overthinking and, you know, yeah, it's a
imagine
huge one.
Imagine that constantly.
Constantly, yeah. I mean, I don't overthink, but, like, that anxiety is what I do often feel. But without the thinking about it. I just feel anxious and my body's like, ah. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then I just...
yeah,
you know, take a nap or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do here.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's those are great examples.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is tough, really.
Yeah. And then, I mean, my last one was kind of, we've all touched on it, but it's, what is the worst case scenario in that circumstance? These are all in the perspective of you being anxious, but also, like, the grounding technique would probably be, like, I would recommend doing that first.
Yeah, totally.
Because, like, do your grounding technique if you're in such a heightened state of anxiety, and then maybe come down and ask you, like, once you've come down from that a little bit, to be able to ask yourself these questions, because you might not be in the mindset too.
Oh, exactly.
It might not work, but there might be times where this is also improving yourself so that you are more self-aware and you are able to actually go, okay, I'm in this situation of high anxiety and something's really stressful in my life right now. But, okay, what is the worst case scenario? In this circumstance, what's the worst case scenario?
Reassurance to you.
It is. It is.
All of this is really just trying to talk to yourself and reassure yourself.
Yeah.
A good example I thought of when you're saying that is work. Like, lots of people, you know, if you have, like, a healthy work environment and, like, a good boss and stuff like that, you can still text them being like, hey, like, I want this day off. Or, hey, like, you know, asking for a raise or something like that, and then you're panicking and thinking to yourself in that moment, what's the worst thing that can happen? And I do that quite often, honestly, especially with work, and then they answer you and they're just like, oh yeah, like, no problem. I'm like, why was I freaking out about that? Like, they're great and they're accommodating, like, why would I freak out and thinking like, oh, they're gonna fire me, oh, like, this that, and I'm just freaking out about it. And I really should, in that state, be like, what is the worst that can happen? Like, really though? Like, am I asking for a lot? Probably not. Like, am I asking for one day off in, like, 3 months? I'm, like, freaking out about it. I'm like, they're gonna fire me.
You know?
But then I'm like, what's the worst that can happen? Like, they can't do it.
Yeah.
And then we just choose a different day that
I
want to take off, you know? It always works itself out.
It will.
And you know what? Also, even if the worst case happens, that's how we learn.
Yeah.
We learn from mistakes and we learn from things that happen in our lives. Hopefully it's not, like, too intense or
traumatic.
But, like,
or...
like I'm saying, like, with work, like, you don't get the day off that you want, then you can compromise and do a different day.
Totally.
And then it's over. And then you're like, why did I just stress for the last 4 hours and not eat all day because of that? Like,
That's exactly.
In conclusion of all this, the grounding technique is great. And just reassuring yourself is huge. Like, you really gotta make sure that you talk to yourself in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
Not, like, there's so many different, like, backstories we can go with this. Like, oh, it's different in this scenario or it's different in that scenario. But I feel like reassurance and that grounding technique can help you in all of them.
100%.
Social anxiety, phobias, generalized anxiety disorder, nothing can hurt by doing a grounding technique, breathing, mm-hmm. and just reassuring yourself.
Yeah.
Being kind to yourself. Not being like, oh, I'm useless or I'm worthless. Like, I should be feeling this way. Just say, you know what? I got this and I'm going to figure it out and everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Don't gaslight yourself out.
No, exactly.
Like, your house can't be on fire and you'll be like, I'm going to be okay. Like, don't gaslight yourself.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of people have that issue.
Yeah.
Just be like, nothing's wrong. And their house is on fire. Like, nothing's wrong. Yeah. I'm fine. Like, no, don't be Ross Geller when he's like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
When Rachel, when she was pregnant or something like that.
She was,
I think she was pregnant.
Yeah, she was pregnant and he was dating Monica, or not Monica.
His sister. Rachel was pregnant and she went to Ross about it.
Mona. He was dating Mona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm fine. Like, it's just gaslighting yourself.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it's very true. So, I got a couple to, like, totally lighten the mood, because this has been a great talk. I really have enjoyed
this.
This
has been awesome, yeah.
To kind of just ask, because they're really random.
We always do questions that are kind of silly, goofy, funny.
They are very silly, goofy, funny.
Yeah.
So here's question number one. If you had a superpower, what would it be?
Going invisible.
Going invisible?
Which is so funny and ironic with anxiety. Yeah. Because the reason why I'd want to go invisible is because I do not like being around people. Yeah, and I can just, like, go in places and no one would see me.
Man, you'd cause me a lot of anxiety if you left footprints in the snow. I'd be like, who is here?
Yeah.
there's just like mud footprints all the way into my house, like to my fridge getting water. And I'm like,
that's the first thing I always do at Sarah's house is get water.
Yeah, she's like,
yeah,
that would be funny.
We didn't even do our drink of the week either, but ours is kind of boring today. We just have lemon water.
Yeah, I'm still getting better and my voice is all blah, so lemon water it is
easy, but
yeah,
that's so funny. Yeah, I always say invisible, and I used to say flying because or teleporting
would be
sweet, but invisible, which is huge.
Yeah.
And it's funny that we're talking about anxiety because being invisible would cost me less anxiety.
Yeah, so, exactly. You're like,
you?
No, I would say teleporting, especially because I live like long distance away from my family, so I feel like teleporting would even to this day, to be honest, I think about it when we're driving. I'm like, I just wish we could just, boom, we're there. Like,
yeah,
why 100%. Couldn't we have that magic power to just, boom, we're there?
We have electric cars, but we don't have teleportation.
Like, why can't we fly, like, in Back to the Future or something like that?
I know.
Even just be able to fly in our cars.
Yeah. Why, yeah.
It would save us so much time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd get to Pell River in, like, an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Or you could, like, buy this specific machine. And you'd pay, like, monthly for it, and you could teleport if someone had the same machine as you.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Man, we'd be rich if we started that.
Let's do it, man.
I love it.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
And then my last question is, if you could be an animal for a day. I don't know why a day. We can be an animal. If you could be an animal, what would you be?
Oh. I feel like everyone's like, oh, that's an easy one. But for me, it's not really, because I have to think logically.
Yeah.
If it's just for a day, like, I want to make it worth it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I don't know, because we don't. Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, Canadian animals.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Like, a moose.
I want to see a moose so badly.
Yeah. Or
be a moose for a day so I could see you.
Yeah, I'll come into your backyard. And I'll do a photo shoot.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that'll be my answer.
Oh, really? You? No, are you sure?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay.
I'll do it.
I don't know. Like, a part of me also, I'm terrified of the ocean because it's so, like, we don't know what the fuck is down there.
No way.
But man, I would want to be, like, could a mermaid be an animal? No, I'll be a fish. I'll be a Nemo. I'll be a clownfish. Or maybe Dory.
A clownfish? You know you're scared of clowns. That's so ironic.
That's hilarious. Oh,
so like, I'm scared of clowns, but I want to be a clownfish.
And the ocean, but I'll just go right down there. I'll just be, like, right in there.
She's, like, doubling her fears at just once. That's awesome.
Ooh,
so I'm going to be a moose for a day, and I'll moose around in your backyard and do a moose photo shoot. What are you doing today? I'm going to do a moose photo shoot.
I'll be a moose. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I want to have great big antlers, and we're going to decorate it with, like, we can bedazzle them.
Oh, my goodness.
Spat on my nose.
Oh. You reminded me of a book.
Oh.
And it was, like, a Christmas book, and with the moose.
Well, yeah.
Do you remember that? And they were out of Christmas trees, so then he ended up putting lights all over himself or something.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Do you remember that book?
Okay, well, if you guys remember that book, please let us know, because I obviously forget what it's
called.
Yeah,
me too.
But yes, I totally remember that.
He went to the store, and, like, they didn't have any, and then...
He, like, walked in the store just moosing around.
Yeah, he was a moose.
Yeah. Moose on the loose.
A moose. Maybe that's what it was called.
A moose saves a Christmas. That would be terrible English, but it would work.
Yeah, the...
Anyways, to wrap things up, thank you for being here with us. We hope that it's made you giggle.
Yeah.
It's made you laugh, made you toot, made you everything in between.
Everything in between.
And maybe just helped you gain a little bit of knowledge on some things that I feel like everyone should just know, you know? And get edumacated on it.
Get some edumacation in.
But, yeah. So, we'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much again for being here.
Yes. Thank you,
I can't
guys.
Thank you guys enough. I say it, like, 7 times during the podcast. I'm just so pumped that we're doing this.
And I know.
I know a couple people that continuously are like, I'm so excited for your podcast. I'm like, that brings me so much joy. And we are just so grateful for you guys. And it's just been such a crazy and fun journey. Follow us on Instagram.
Yes.
And you'll see all our content. But, yeah. So I just wanted to say thanks again for the 100th time.
We love you guys so much.
We love you so much. And don't forget to peace, love, lip gloss.
Peace, love, lip gloss.
Bye.